So I hope you read Ephesians 1, especially 3 through 14. And let's begin with prayer. Great God in heaven, when we open up Paul's little letter to the Ephesians, we see that its message is not small at all, but it covers such grand and glorious things that we never would have imagined. We, as humans, we just would not have come up with this material. But clearly it is from heaven. We know that this is what you want to tell us. So help us to think deeply on the message of Ephesians, that we might see your love and your grace for us, especially in giving us the church, which we consider to be a great and wonderful blessing. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. All right. I think you'll get an idea of how rich the book of Ephesians is when we start looking now at verses 3 through 14 of chapter 1. This section just has a way of removing us from the world, removing us from worldly thinking, removing us from thinking about worldly blessings. Because a lot of times when we think about how God has blessed us, we think about the things of this life rather than the things of the Spirit. So what it will do is, you'll notice as we go through 3 through 14 here, Paul's going to fill our thinking with the things of the Spirit and with the Spirit himself. And actually, the way verses 3 through 14 is worded, it's all one sentence. Now, there's a couple of translations, including mine here, the New King James, that breaks up into two or three. Mine breaks up into three sentences. But really, it's one sentence. Even in the Greek New Testament, it's, although they wrote in the first century without punctuation, if you can imagine that. Remember that I showed you before, I've shown you actually pictures of ancient Greek manuscripts. They wrote in all capital letters, no spaces between the letters, and no punctuation. If you can imagine that. But they knew how to read it. So, our translators, well, I shouldn't even say the translators. Those who created the Greek manuscripts later had to figure out where to make a capital letter, where to make the rest lowercase, where to put in the spaces, where to put in the punctuation, and sometimes it really matters. But the way this is worded here, it's really one long sentence. And I'm going to read it here in a little bit. And we're just going to read it all at one time. And I want you to keep in mind that I told you in preaching school I had to memorize this whole thing. Okay? I did it in the ASV, the American Standard Version of 1901, which Lynn uses. Do you have that today? You do. But I can't memorize it anymore. I don't remember. So don't test me. But I do. I am trying to re-memorize it in the New King James. But I just want you to keep that in mind to think about, wow, it's... Well, you'll see what I mean as we go through it. Also, I want, as we read this section, I want you to think about what has occupied your mind this past week. Whatever. You know, something in the news, something in your life, something at work, whatever. What has been foremost in your thinking? Or somewhere up there, maybe not foremost, but something that has occupied a lot of your thinking. And I want you to observe just what Paul's doing with our thinking here, because there was a lot of stuff going on in the Roman Empire during this time, and he, of course, does not address it at all. There's a lot of other things going on. There's things going on in his life and in the lives of the Ephesian Christians, and yet just listen to the rich material that is given here. So let's begin by reading it, and then we'll come back to verse 3 and talk about it. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, which He made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure which He purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in Him. In Him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of His glory. In Him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory.
Amen.
Amen. To me, that's a huge mouthful. I mean, how much did he just say in all of that?
Well, you can't get it all if you don't stop and think about what some of it you said before you proceed on to the next.
Like, I know, yeah.
Absorb what I just read.
Right.
So that I can move on.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you guys trying to do the sound system? I never have it on for class anymore. Do I need to have it on? Can you hear me, Denise? And Jim, you can hear me? And Scott? How about all the deaf people? Can you hear me? Okay, right there. Good. They're sitting in the right places. I challenge you to find a sentence anywhere else in the Bible or in all of literature where you're going to find as much information in one sentence. It's just, to me, it's just amazing. It blows my mind as to everything Paul said here. And if you think, well, that's not so bad, try and memorize it, okay? And have it memorized by next week. Wait, you had to memorize it in my class, didn't you?
Oh, no.
Oh, he got really scared. You should have seen the look on his face. He thought I was going to ask him to recite it. You didn't? I didn't make you guys recite that? But what was wrong with me?
Thank you.
Okay, I taught a class at what used to be called the Asher School of Biblical Studies back, was that in the 80s or early 90s? And I thought I included this in that on the scheme of redemption. But and I gave you, yeah, you were there, and I remember giving you guys homework and everything. But anyways, you had a question or a comment.
Well, I was going to say, I got all the in hymns underlined.
Yes. Yeah. I don't know if you noticed how many times Paul did that. How many times he refers to God the Father or Jesus, or just uses pronouns. It's constant. Do you remember when I first started teaching 1 Corinthians, I printed out 1 Corinthians for you and asked you to underline every time Paul makes a reference to Jesus. Remember doing that? And I don't know what you thought about it, but to me it was shocking. Especially when people say Paul just preaches himself. Well, it's the same thing right here. Okay, there's so much to point out in this passage. There's things to point out about what God did and the blessings we have and the fact that they're in Christ, there's just so much of it. We could talk, and we will talk for a while on this text. In fact, you'll see how much time we spend just on verse 3. Yes.
The other thing I'll underline here is three times it says, His will.
Yes. And something else that he says three times is to the praise of the glory of His grace, or something like that. Okay, so verse 3. A long time ago, I remember thinking, how can we bless God? God blesses us, right? How can we bless God? Isn't that what Paul is telling us to do here in verse 3?
Define bless.
Say it again.
Define bless.
Okay, I'll let you define bless. Oh, okay. Nancy?
By our spiritual walk.
Okay, by how we live that blesses God. So what do you mean by that? Well, how are we blessing God?
It's your daily activities, everything that you do.
Okay. Yes.
In one of the Gospels, I think it says, Jesus says the will of God is that believe in His only begotten Son.
Okay. Now, what is a blessing? Let's talk about what Diane asked. What is a blessing? I typically think it of as something that's been given to me that I didn't have before.
It's got to be good, too.
Or that you could give.
Pardon?
Or that you could give.
Okay. So I can give you something that you didn't have before, but God? How do I give something to God that He didn't have before? So I asked myself that question many years ago, maybe even a couple decades ago, and I finally got it. And actually, Paul's doing it in verse 3. How is Paul blessing God in verse 3?
Reminding us of what God gives us.
Okay. Yeah, he's crediting. Okay, so he's crediting God. He's giving God the credit, isn't he, for what we experience in Christ. He's praising God, isn't he? Although the word praise doesn't appear there, but isn't he praising God in verse 3? Isn't he glorifying God? Well, God has glory and He has praise whether we give it to Him or not, right? But He doesn't, I mean, this is going to seem so obvious, so simple, but He doesn't have praise for me until I praise Him. He doesn't have blessing from me till I utter the blessing. So He's blessed, He's always blessed, but as far as from me, from Don Rule, He doesn't have that until I say, in this case, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. So Paul's doing it right there in verse 3. Nora, were you going to say something?
Kind of, but I don't know. Okay, so would that be the same as if, like, we prayed for you for all the blessings, like, because, like, you're teaching us or whatever? So, like, if we thank you for your teachings, is that, like, blessing them as well?
I think so, yes. Because I hate to use the word lack with God, because I know God doesn't lack anything, but the truth is, if you don't thank Him, even though He's blessed you, He's lacking thanksgiving from you. So it's not that He's lacking something in His person, because He's complete. Even if we were never created, He's still not lacking anything. But since He's blessed you, He now wants to see you be thankful or bless Him or whatever. So yeah. Yeah, I think you're right. I think that's exactly a way to bless Him. Also, what I think is interesting, what is a eulogy? Like at a funeral, memorial service, what is a eulogy?
Summary of somebody's life.
Say that again?
Summary of someone's life.
Now, do we usually say the bad stuff?
No.
No. We usually say the good stuff. Okay. So if I'm still around when you pass away, Nancy, I'll say good things about you, all right? Or say good things, come up and say good things about me. Okay, well, in the Greek New Testament, there's actually two words that the Greeks use for bless. Now, in Matthew 5, the Beatitudes, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are the meek, all that, that's not the word that Paul used here. But he used the word from which we get eulogy. Eulogy is actually just a Greek word. That's all. Actually, it's actually a compound Greek word. There's like the logos. You've heard of the logos means word or study, theology, all those ologies. Okay, eulogy, same thing. And the you there is referring to good things. So a eulogy is speaking good things. And that's what Paul did here in Ephesians 1:3. He's speaking good things about God. And when you do that, you're blessing God. Okay, so how many spiritual blessings has God not blessed us with? Again, yeah, so that... there's none excluded, right? There's everything. So I would say none. Look at James 1:17. We've been in, if you remember, we did Isaiah, Jeremiah, and then Lamentations. And you got to turn a whole bunch of pages to get to any other book or something. And here I just thought, oh, James is really close to Ephesians. Okay, so James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. And Psalm 103. Now turn a whole bunch of pages. Psalm 103, I'm going to read the whole thing. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known His ways to Moses, His acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will He keep His anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear Him. For He knows our frame, He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him, and His righteousness to children's children, to such as keep His covenant, and to those who remember His commandments to do them. The Lord has established His throne in heaven, and His kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, you angels who excel in strength, who do His word, heeding the voice of His word. Bless the Lord, all you hosts, all you His hosts, you ministers of His who do His pleasure. Bless the Lord, all His works, and all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Okay, here, interestingly, the psalmist listed both material and spiritual blessings. But he didn't list them all, did he? There's some things he didn't list. And the same thing with Paul. When we start at verse 4, he begins to explain what some of those spiritual blessings are, but not all of them. I mean, for example, he doesn't mention prayer. So you can see that there's a lot more involved. So Psalm 103, I think, is great. You know, blessed be God for every spiritual blessing, Ephesians 1:3. If you write in your Bible, I'd encourage you to write James 1:17 and Psalm 103. Because I think they really just accent, they highlight, accentuate Paul told us in Ephesians 1, what we have in Christ, that we have every spiritual blessing. And on top of that, we also get the blessings of this world. Okay, so now, back to Ephesians 1:3. How many spiritual blessings does he give outside of the heavenly places in Christ?
Well, it's talking about in the heavenly places in verse 3.
Right. So how many are outside of those heavenly places?
None.
Every spiritual blessing is in the heavenly places in Christ. That covers it pretty good, doesn't it? So I don't know of any, although a lot of people would say prayer, but if I understand what the Bible says about when you're in and out of Christ, I think prayer is a blessing for those who are in Christ, who are in the heavenly places. Okay, so the next question is, because this is an expression we don't use very much, what are the heavenly places? What's interesting about that is that the book of Ephesians is the only place in the Bible where you will find that phrase.
Really?
Interesting, huh? Now, you might have some other references where a writer will make a reference to the heavenlies. But as far as I could find, at least in the New King James Version, heavenly places is only used in Ephesians. So let me write down those texts and then we'll read them. Try and figure this out. Okay, well, the first one's obvious, 1:3. Then verse 20. Chapter 2, verse 6, 3:10, and then 6:12. Okay, so we've already read verse 3 of chapter 1. Do we have anybody here who would like to do some reading? Do I have four possible readers? Okay, Carl, why don't you read verse 20? Who'd like to get 2:6? Nora, who'd like to get 3:10? Lynn, and then 6:12. Diane. Okay, so Carl.
Which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places.
And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
3:10. Okay, and then Diane.
For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms.
Okay, heavenly realm. Interesting, okay. So, what do you think? You know, in verse 3, it's not really identified for us. But did you notice at least one place where I think it is identified for us? Where is Christ right now, according to what Paul, someone who read that passage? Nancy?
Well, he's seated him at his right hand in heavenly places, so one would assume that the heavenly places are where Christ dwells.
Okay. We would think of that as heaven itself. But I think it's interesting that Paul doesn't just say heaven in all these passages. He either says the heavenlies. Did anybody have that wording in their translation? The heavenlies? You did in yours? And what is that, the New American Standard? Okay. And Diane, you had heavenly realm. All right. So the heavenlies or the heavenly places, it seems to me like that's including more than just heaven itself. That's why it's plural. So even if you have heavenlies, you can see that's plural, or heavenly places, you can see that's plural. Okay, so the heavenly places has to include at least heaven itself, right? But what else would it include? Let's see here. That was two. Okay, Carl's the 120. That's the one where it talked about Jesus sitting at the right hand of God in the heavenly places. And then 2:6. What did 2:6 say?
Made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
Okay, so what is that saying about us?
So we would be there also.
That we would be, or we are now?
Raised us up together and made us sit. We are there now.
Sounds like we're there now, and in Ephesians 1:3 makes it sound like we're in it now, doesn't it? Okay, because when he listed the spiritual blessings in 4 through 14, those are things we have now. So, somehow we are also in the heavenly places. Okay, and what was the next one? The next one was 3:10. Okay, so that one we kind of have to go back. Let's go back to verse 8. Lynn, I should have had you start at verse 8, sorry. So there Paul said, "To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places."
So the church is in the heavenly places. We, the church, are in the heavenly places.
Okay, so the church as a whole
is the heavenly place.
But the church in the heavenly places is also making known God's manifold wisdom, where? Okay, so there's something else that's in the heavenly places, right? I had principalities. Principalities. Okay. Did I spell that right? No, did someone say? Okay. Or rulers you had in your translation, Diane?
Yeah. Rulers and authorities.
What was that?
Rulers and
authorities is another one we can lift up there. So the church and Christians, obviously, are in the heavenly places, and we're also there letting others in the heavenly places know about, and that would be the principalities and the rulers, letting them know about God's wisdom. It was really easy when we went right here, wasn't it? Sometimes when I'm studying the Bible and I'm preparing for a sermon or a class, I'm thinking, okay, someone's going to ask me a question, what are the heavenly places? So I got to answer it, so I research it. And you know, sometimes someone doesn't even ask me about that, but I keep it in the back of my mind for some other time. So, and I'll come across something and say, oh, that's easy. Boom, got that passage right there. But then I continue to look at the other ones and there's more stuff there. And also, by the way, when I just read 8 through 10, did you see how rich that was? This whole letter is like that. He says so much with every word. Dorothy? You what? You're jumping the gun. You're going to chapter 6? Okay, so talk about chapter 6.
Well, to me, the whole thing is a spiritual war going on in the realm of darkness and light.
Okay. All right. So, Doesn't he also there in 6:12 mention the principalities and powers and things like that? Yeah, and he speaks about them as being evil, doesn't he? Not as, because we might have been thinking at first, oh, these are principalities and powers and authorities that are good, like angels and things like that. Not necessarily. So it sounds to me like I can see where Paul's coming from, why he puts it in the plural. He's not just talking about heaven. And what was you used an expression just now, Dorothy?
The spiritual
world. Okay, or this is in the spiritual realm, to use your translation's wording. I mean, if he had said spiritual realm, because I think we're used to talking that way, not heavenly places. If we use the word or the phrase spiritual realm, now what do you think of?
Holy Spirit.
Church.
Keep on going. I mean, what is in the spiritual realm?
Sidian. Bad things as well as good.
Okay, including even Satan?
Yes.
And everything that's associated with him?
Yep.
And that's chapter 6?
Yes.
And you also notice there that he talks about having our shield of faith. Because we want to resist the fiery darts of who? Of the devil.
Yeah, the next one, to put on the full armor of God. That's why he wants us to be
right.
Equipped.
Okay, so, Dorothy, did I steal your thunder?
That's okay.
Oh, that's okay. Well, you're so kind. You're so kind. So, to me, this is fascinating. And I think it all goes back to what Paul said earlier in that verse. He's talking about spiritual blessings. Blessings that are in the spirit. Blessings that are in the spiritual realm. Or, to use his terminology, blessings that are in the heavenly places. See, we have a tendency to use this word strictly in a good sense. But the Bible says, well, no, it encompasses more than that. For example, there's another word just on the opposite side where we tend to do this. Hades. Okay, most people, if you hear them use that word, they use it simply as a synonym for hell. But no, excuse me. Hades is simply the unseen realm of the dead, or the unseen abode of the dead. Everyone who dies goes to Hades. But there's two places in Hades. One is paradise, and the other is a place of torment. Okay, well, not the word heaven, but heavenlies, or heavenly places, encompasses more than just heaven. It's encompassing the entire spirit world. And that includes Satan and all his angels and whatever, the people in this world who are evil, who persecute the church, or who don't even do that, they just promote the flesh and other things like that, they're still in the spirit too. And I'm not meaning Holy Spirit, they're in the realm of the spirit. You follow what I'm saying there? So we use the same word with different meanings. So is everyone following what I'm saying, or have I lost anybody? Nancy.
So Diane's definition of spiritual realm so much better describes this for those of us who speak English like we do now.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Because this doesn't give us a picture. That does.
Right, but we should try to speak this way.
We should, but we have difficulty relating to it because it doesn't speak English like we do.
Right. Well, what we have to do sometimes is clarify ourselves.
Or go back to the original.
Yeah. Yeah, so we can just... like if I mention Hades, especially if it's someone who I'm teaching is not a Christian yet, I almost always, if they ask a question like what happens when you die, I always clarify what I mean by that, because, well, a lot of people, you know, some people use the expression hotter than hell, or some people say hotter than Hades, Okay, well, there is a part of Hades that appears to be hot, but not all of it. And Jesus, did Jesus go to hell when he died?
He went
to Hades, but not to hell. Unfortunately, the Old King James Version has hell. The Old King James Version. But hell in 1611 encompassed more than what it does today. So I think that's part of the confusion. In Acts 2, Peter speaks about Jesus going to hell, and he didn't. He went to Hades. Huge difference. But it's, 2020 is not the same as 1611, as you know. I mean, just during my lifetime, how much has the English language changed? I'm gay. Everyone's like, oh no, we better talk. Well, remember, you used to be able to say that, and it just meant you were happy. Okay, Lynn.
What about Gehenna?
Okay, Gehenna is the Greek word for hell. Right. And in Acts 2, that's what Peter used. He didn't use Gehenna. He used Hades. That's actually just a Greek word, in case you didn't. You didn't know how much Greek you spoke, did you? Like when we were talking about Paul with the fluid around his heart in the pericardium. Peri, from the Greek word meaning around, and cardia for heart. So usually when you go to the doctor, he's speaking Greek to you, and that's why you don't understand what he's saying. I hadn't thought about that. Okay, so there's some more. We got to our conclusion faster than I intended on that. So I want to look at some other passages here. So look at John 3:12. Now, we're not going to take this long on every verse as we go through Ephesians, I want you to know. But sometimes, to me, this verse has a couple things in it that either we don't typically speak that way, or I had to get it clarified in my mind, as I already talked to you about. Okay, so where am I at? John 3. Okay, so, well, first of all, let me ask you this question. What does the Bible mean when it refers to our Heavenly Father? And isn't it indicating his location? He's in heaven, or he's of heaven. Okay, so now John 3:12. What did Jesus mean here when he spoke of heavenly things? Look at John 3:12. He says to Nicodemus, "If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things?" What do you mean when he said that?
Spiritual.
Okay, things of the Spirit, things that are of heaven. You know, I'm speaking to you of things of the earth, like he was talking about being born again. He was talking about the wind. And Nicodemus is having a hard time with that. He's saying, if you can't understand that, how are you going to understand if I talk to you about things that are of heaven? Okay, who would like to read Acts 26:19? Give me a hand. Michael. And who would like to read 1 Corinthians 15? 48 through 49. 1 Corinthians 15, 48 through 49. Was that a hand up, Karen? Oh, okay. Give me a reader, Diane. Okay, and who would like to read Ephesians 2, 19 through 22? Okay, Nancy. Who would like to read Philippians 3, 20? Okay, Anne. Go ahead, the first one.
King Agrippa, I did not prove disobedient to the heavenly vision.
Now, what was that?
So, King Agrippa, I did not...
No, what was the passage?
Acts 26:19.
Oh, okay, yeah. Next. 1 Corinthians 15.
Oh, that's me. Oh.
48 and 49. Okay, the person who is to read Ephesians 2, hold off on that. Give me Philippians 3:20. Okay, Anne.
For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay. And now Ephesians.
Is that 19 through 22?
Yes.
Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit.
Okay. Thank you. I think all of these here are different ways of referring to the spirit realm or the heavenly places. Like in Acts 26 or, okay, 1 Corinthians 15, he was talking about Adam versus Christ. Adam was of the earth. Christ was of heaven. Philippians 3:20, did that say our citizenship shall be in heaven? Yeah, we have it now. My citizenship is in heaven now. And Ephesians 2 here, it was a lot to read, but what I wanted to get up to was verse 22, where Paul said that we're being built together for a dwelling place of God in what?
In the Spirit.
In the Spirit. Okay. So again, I think all of these are different ways of referring to just the heavenlies. It's a lot of the same thing. Now, what Paul does is, I believe, he gives us 14 different blessings in what follows. Which, if you follow anything about biblical numbers, you know, 7 is one of those numbers in the Bible that's really crucial and critical and significant. And so here, of course, I think he's doubling it. So 14. And the question is, how do you find all these blessings? Okay, Diane. Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know if you all heard Diane or not, but she's asking, was there something that prompted this letter?
Yeah.
Something maybe that was off or wrong or something like that. And from what we...
They needed help in that area right now before he left.
From what we know, no. It does not appear that he's trying to correct any problem.
Right.
He doesn't seem to be rebuking them. And that's what makes Ephesians unique. Because most of his other letters, he's having to have to straight out on a problem,
right,
or he's preventing the problem, or something like that. But not in Ephesians. Ephesians is unique in that regard. So it just seems like, it'd be like if he just came here today. Let's say, Paul, we invite you to come speak at the Sabbath Street Church of Christ. January 26th. Yeah. Yeah, I think so. He's reminding, re-cementing,
yeah,
if you can re-cement. So it's like if we invited him to come speak here today, you know, January 26, 2020 in Grants Pass, Oregon. And so Paul, just come with whatever you want. And he would teach us this. And it's not because we're off on something, although that may be the case, but it's not because he's trying to correct that problem. He just wants to speak about the glories of God in the Spirit, especially as it pertains to the church. So, it's like a lot of my lessons, or any preacher. You know, sometimes you're preaching something because you can see the congregation is kind of going in a certain way and they need to go this way. But a lot of times it's just because you've been studying and you start planning out things. And I mean, I have a list of stuff I want to preach here. And so, why did I do Ephesians? Is it because I think Diane needs to hear this? Well, you do need to hear it, but not, you know. I mean, it's a wonderful book. It's a wonderful message because you don't always want to be correcting. Dorothy.
Is he given a blessing? Yes. Is that a blessing he's giving them, this letter?
Yes, right, yeah, exactly. And he's spoken to them. I mean, he was there for 3 years. And if he wrote anything down, we don't know. But now they're going to have something. They're going to have stuff written down that he's told them. It's just like when okay, I published a book, and you all got a copy of it. But all of it you had all heard before. All of it I had already either taught or preached here. So why did I give you a copy? Because you're nice people. You know? So now you have it in print. Okay, so we got like 2 minutes left. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you a cheat sheet. Don't you like that? Almost exactly a year ago, I put in the bulletin an article, and I didn't know I'd be teaching Ephesians today, that points out these 14 blessings as I see them. Because it's not easy to pick them out.
Yeah, I tried. Well, you whittled them down to one word.
Yeah, I was trying to make it real simple.
Oh,
can you give that to Michael?
Well, that would have been easier.
So be sure to bring this back next week. And I want you to check me up on, okay? Because I may have missed something, or I may have misread it. What was that, Nancy?
I did manage to get them all.
Okay, so look it over real good. And you know what? There was something. Did I forget to read something? No, I didn't. Let me see here. No. Just 1 minute here. Was that the bell?
Yeah.
Okay, well, we'll end right there.